My name is Edith Bowman. I'm a broadcaster who talks for a living, but I'm also very lucky to live in Gloucestershire. Even before we moved here, we used to come and visit all the time. My in-laws live here, my husband grew up here, and my kids would love to visit Rush Skate Park down in Brimscombe Port. Unfortunately, last year, the skate park closed and along with a number of other buildings was demolished. And I thought, and I'm sure along with many others, that that was the end of Rush and the community that it supported and created. Thankfully, I was wrong. As I discovered very quickly that a number of people have got together to create the Friends of Rush, who not only are doing all they can to keep the name and the spirit alive, but also determined to provide an even better state-of-the-art facility for our community. And this podcast will hopefully follow that journey and keep you informed of how it's developing. So, welcome to episode one of the Friends of Rush podcast. Now, we thought the best way to start things off was to give you a little bit of history of Rush and let you know where we're at. And to do so, let's meet some of the trustees who are doing all they can to resurrect Rush for a new generation.
Hello, I'm Debbie Bird and I'm a training consultant for an insurance company, and I've been involved with Rush since, I don't know, about 2014, but most recently as the chair of the charity that's been set up to build a new Rush skate park.
Hi, I'm David Haydock. By day, I'm a chief finance officer of a group of schools for autistic kids. By night, I'm also a foster carer, and that's kind of how I came into touch with Rush, through taking kids that we foster across to the old Rush. And I happen to live diagonally opposite where it was as well. So and my daughter worked there for a couple of years when she was at sixth form.
Hi, my name's Stanley Bogava. I'm 17. I go to school in Marling, just down the road. I've been going to Rush for a while now, since I was maybe 10 or 11. Skateboarding there for a while takes me everywhere. I'm a trustee for the new charity to get a new skate park built.
Hi, my name is Matt Cottle, and I'm currently work for a family-run stonemasonry company, and I've been a part of the Rush project since sort of inception back in, it was probably 2010 roughly, but may have been even earlier than that. And I'm currently a trustee of the new charity trying to get a new skate park.
I guess a good place to start, because the idea with this podcast is that we want to do many things. We want to tell people the story and the journey of hopefully this new amazing facility and the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that go through that whole process. We want to answer people's questions, and we'll work out a way of doing that. You know, in terms of if people have questions about specific things, we'll do that. But with this first episode, it would be great to kind of set where we are now today. And to do that, we need to go back, because a lot of people will want to know why Rush isn't there anymore. What happened to Rush? You know, when you drive past that site now, I mean, I find it heartbreaking, and I only moved here in 2019. But every time we came here prior to that to visit my mother and father-in-law, it would be the one place my kids would want to go. We've had birthdays there. You know, it was a draw. It was a pool. It was a happy place for them. It's sad that it's not there anymore, but there is light, hopefully, at the end of this tunnel. But Matt, do you want to tell us why we don't have a Rush at the minute?
Rush was always on a short-term lease initially. You know, we didn't know if it was going to work from the outset. No one did. No one had ever done anything like that around here before. We'd never done anything like that. I think we had a 10-year lease with a 5-year break clause. And the council had always said they wanted to build on the site we were on. They wanted to redevelop it back into the port that it used to be. They ended up exercising their break clause. We then ran for about 3 or 4 years, I think, on a very short term, you know, month by month lease, which was difficult to say the least. Yeah, so it's about 18 months ago now, isn't it? Rush closed. They finally said, no, you know, we're calling it a day. We can redevelop. So they knocked everything down, and, you know, we're now trying to push on and bring Rush back from the ashes.
So from that point of knowing that the end was in sight for that site, at what point and who kind of took it upon themselves to go, there's a next step to this, there's another opportunity, we have to, because the thing that I always find about is that community spirit in there. Even if you were an outsider, you came in there and you felt part of a community.
To be honest, we were working on it from sort of 2017-18 when the break clause happened. It was really hard because it was really hard for people to picture that it really was going to close. And we tried to get energy. In fact, we had agreement for another site at one point in Centre Stroud, and that went through the council and everything. But it was very hard to raise any money and to really, because of the belief, I suppose. And then in the run-up to, it was in 2021, I think. I'm getting confused about my dates, but...
That's what COVID does to you.
Yeah, yeah. basically, the planning application went through to, which we expected really back in 2019, to close the site, you know, to knock it down for the demolition. You know, we didn't get anywhere fighting that. And then we realised that they were actually going to, because of the sort of COVID things and everything, they were going to close it at the beginning of the school holidays. And I probably can put my hand up as saying that I felt completely enraged by that, that it was going to be open for like 2 weeks before the summer holidays. And so we got a petition going. And on the back of that, we then did manage to stay open until the end of August, in which the Olympics happened. And for the first time, we had skateboarding and freestyle BMX. Because they were massive stories, we got a lot of attention. And at one point, we just said, hey, we've got to set up the charity and we've got to raise some money because this is like a golden opportunity. If we don't do it now, we're never going to get the chance to get cracking.
Rush was more than just a skate park, though, wasn't it?
It was definitely just beyond a skate park. It was like where I'd go, chill with my mates after school. We'd just hang out there. Like even when sessions were, when we were meant to be closing, like I remember when Matt was like, right, that's it, you've had enough. We'd always be trying to get that extra 10 minutes in to just ride the park for that little bit longer that we could, or just stay in the cafe for a little bit longer than the session was, or just really just seeing my mates after school. It was a community, if anything, really.
Yeah, and you know, some of the foster kids we've looked after, you could take them there and they would be welcomed in. It doesn't matter what their background was, you know, what troubles they'd had, what sort of life they'd been leading. Jerry and Michelle, who ran the place, would always welcome them in with open arms, provide them with a kit, a scoot or a skateboard or whatever it was they needed. Mm-hmm. And then you knew that the kids would just welcome them in because that's the type of atmosphere it creates. So, yeah. And like I said, my daughter worked there in the CAF for 2 years and she went there as a really quiet, quite timid young lady and came out as a much more robust character after 2 years. And that was just being in that atmosphere with these guys. Yeah.
So what does it feel like not having it?
It's a lot. Nearest other thing that's even slightly close to it is a good hour and a half away. That's with no traffic.
Yeah.
So.
And
I'd
for you,
to,
you want you compete. So for you to kind of train and you know, in terms of that side of things, it must be a massive blow for you.
Yeah, it's about a 3.5 hour round trip to the nearest sort of place. It's not really the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's like. It's a glimpse of what Rush sort of was. Three and a half hour round trip twice a week. And even then, I was going to Rush like 4 times a week because it was like a 5 minute drive.
Yeah.
My parents, when they'd have enough of us in the house, we're going to Rush. We've had enough.
I love that. So where are we now? Is the name Rush continuing? Is that the plan that it will be?
Yeah, we sort of, you know, chosen to set up as a charity to relaunch, you know, a suitable vehicle for taking it forward, which, you know, helps with a lot around, you know, the fundraising and that sort of stuff. So we set the charity up now about 18 months ago, I guess it is now. Yeah. You know, a lot of people have wanted to get involved in the project, so it's bringing skill sets in. So, you know, one big advantage was some planning guys who have access to land agents and all that sort of stuff. So we've been able to find some land just between Stroud and Gloucester, and nearly a year ago now, we got a land option. So we've got an option to buy that land if we can get planning permission to build a skate park on it. Okay. And that was a massive step forward because then people start to see that it's real. And so now we're going through the planning process. So we've done the pre-planning and that went okay. So we're going through all the various surveys and stuff that you need to do to get into the actual planning process and raising the kind of money that you need to go through that process because it is not cheap.
And there's also that thing as well within the community of kind of whispers and rumours and what's going on. And it's like, you know, when you say you've got land, it's like, okay, you've got the option on that land, but you need to get the planning permission passed before you can then buy the land, and then build the park. It's kind of all these kind of stages, isn't it, in terms of one's got to happen before the next one and the kind of knock-on effect. Fundraising is going to be a big part of this. Where are you with it? What's the kind of the goal?
So we've raised quite a bit of money so far because obviously we've had to pay for, you know, solicitors' fees and marketing and the planning so far. We need to raise more because obviously we've got to pay for the architects and then there are fees for the council and that kind of thing. But we've got sort of a number of different things going on. So there are people who are arranging events, anything from sort of pub quizzes to at the weekend they had an event at the CAM ramps and did some fundraising and publicity there. We're talking about doing some sort of event for the anniversary at the end of August. So we're hoping that might be quite a good moment to raise money as well. And then we do have some, you know, hopefully some quite generous benefactors alongside all of that. Probably the thing I like best are we're gradually getting more and more, but we've got a crowdfunder, but people can have their own fundraising page on the crowdfunder. And there's a really good example of Freddie who, he and his mum just set up a page, not with any sort of a challenge or anything in mind, but just sort of a page saying, I want my skate park back. And he's already raised 320 quid. You know, if we get, you know, 50, 100 of those, that makes a major contribution to what we need. And that's really special as well, because it's coming from, you know, if it's coming from the kids, there's nothing better than that, really, that, you know, that we're raising the money that way.
Well, it's lovely to sort of think further down the line of almost Freddie, that first day that he steps into the new skate park and go, I helped, I did something, I raised, you know, I did a sponsored bike ride or whatever it is. That's lovely for everybody to sort of feel that they've been involved in that way. And that's important for you, isn't it? For this to feel like the community can get involved.
It's that community spirit that's going to help it. But it's also, you know, you talk about it being in stages, you know, you get the land option and then you get some planning and they do this. Each time you get to the next stage, the money gets bigger. So in the end, it's going to be millions to build a skate park. And people are raising hundreds and thousands now. And I've said to them, look, to get to the next stage, you need those hundreds. So, yeah, this £300 that's been raised is every bit as important now as tens of thousands will be later down the road. Because if you don't get the £300 now from all these little fundraising, you never get further down the road. So it's hugely important that the work that the individuals are doing, it's of massive value right now. And it creates the community spirit as well, gets more people involved.
So you're at planning stage, is that right? Pre-planning, sorry.
Well, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, we're basically at the first stages of talking to the architects and we've hopefully found an architect that's going to work with us and has done us a really good deal on this early part. So we need drawings. You know, we need a planning application put together. And there are other things that have to happen, like sort of surveys for the environment and road and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, the goal is to try and be ready again for the anniversary to put that planning application in. And then it'll be about sort of 3 months on from that we can make it happen.
And with regards to that planning, how have you decided on what you're putting in, what Rush is going to look like?
It develops over a period of time. So we're sort of putting in quite a generic planning application because if we try to be too specific now, it'll just delay everything. It will mean that the earlier stages are more expensive as well. You know, we're essentially applying for a giant shed, and then we'll worry about what it looks like inside, because over a period of time, then all the, you know, the ramp designers, et cetera, the guys, you know, these guys have worked with before will start to get involved. And the likes of, you know, British Cycling and Skateboarding GB and all that sort of stuff who will have quite an input to this, because they're the guys that are going to be providing quite a bit of the activity and revenue.
My little 5 pence worth when I've been talking to you about it is things like make sure you've got that infrastructure for like broadcasters to be able to come and plug in so that championships can be broadcast from the park and all that kind of thing. If you've got that there, and this is a nice thing actually, because you are starting from scratch, so you can get all this input from the people that are there and involved to make sure that all these things are part of it. Because if that's an easy option for a broadcaster or a big sponsor to come and get involved and host their championships there, you're top of their list then for where that's going to be. Is that something you've been, I don't know, thinking about and talking to people about?
Yeah, definitely. I think with the initial rush, we were always limited because we were in an old shell of a building. We had to just build a skate park and go with it. Yeah. Whereas this time we've got a blank canvas. We can apply, like David said, for planning permission, for the main crux and every, you know, try and bring in as much afterwards as well. But because there's the blank slate, we can go from there and build on it and just try and make it the best place we can.
Stan, what's your dream for Rush? You know, you kind of get to that new site and it's built for a 17-year-old kid who it's your life. What are you hoping to be there? That's a big question, sorry.
Yeah. Well, as you know, skateboarding is in the Olympics now. So there's not really a proper park in the UK that would be what it would be like at the Olympics. That what they'd be skating, the kind of transitions, the kind of like street obstacles, like nothing in the UK is really the same. And vert skateboarding is coming into the Olympics in 2028, I believe.
What's that?
It's like a 14-foot half pipe, 2 foot of vertical transition, and then 12 foot of just the rest of it.
Sorry. Drop.
That's a bit, yeah.
So that's coming into the Olympics in 2028, I believe. Just something like that as well. We need a vert ramp, some proper Olympic park that we'd be able to train in, compete in, hopefully host contests as well. Mm. Could make it like a yearly thing. Something for everyone really as well.
As well as that though, because a big part of the original Rush was that outreach as well, and it being a place for kids to go and things like that. And that's something that you're really keen to explore and expand on as well in terms of the facilities that the park has in and around it.
I just think it's a great opportunity to, I mean, Jerry and Michelle were always very positive about this sort of stuff, having the evenings with all sorts, charity on a Monday night, that those ran all the way through. But there's just such good opportunities to communicate with a bunch of kids that, frankly, don't really want to communicate with grown-ups very much at all. There's no reason why you couldn't have vaccination clinics, you know, for that group so that they actually do go and do that sort of thing. Or you could have, I mean, they'll love it, but, you know, what about a homework club? You know, so you do your homework, you can have half an hour in the park. That way, the benefits of the sort of skills and the behaviours that you get in the park, you actually get that translating into schoolwork as well. And we've definitely seen that with kids that are concentrating. It does help on concentration and all of that. So I think we can really use our imaginations. I think as well, all of them do video. Well, why not have a video editing suite and actually teach some of those skills? And then, you know, we could have an apprentice program, you know, so that actually every year we have two or three apprentices actually learning how to run a facility, you know, so you're building those skills and like those capabilities for the long term. You know, it's almost as big as our imaginations allow itself to be, because there'll be a lot of people working there, and yeah, it'll be there for a long time. once we build it, we're going to really make it into something very special.
We've got access to this really wide community, you know, so we're already talking to local charities, which could be about the actual skating activity, but also, you know, I've been talking to a local charity locally who are into all the environmental stuff. So, you know, we've got a 16-acre site, so they want to play on the landscaping side of it, you know, and that'll attract kids in, and the fact that we're attracting kids in might attract them into their charity. So there's all sorts of local tie-ups that we can make that will make this thing work.
Also, because you're at this stage and you've, as you say, you've got this land that you are in charge of how you build it, you kind of think of it, of the build environmentally as well, you know, in terms of almost being a self-sufficient building in a way as well.
Oh, most definitely, because, you know, the electric bill at the old place was big.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, and that was before the prices went up. I mean, that was way before the prices. You know, so we have solar panels. Well, there's no reason why we couldn't have a wind turbine. You know, so actually, we don't have an electricity bill. Wouldn't that be amazing? There's no reason why we can't do water recycling. I mean, we can be really eco in the mix of all of that. Actually, one of the things that I'm looking forward to in the park itself is some seating, because I have spent whole days standing, watching competitions or watching kids or whatever. And also, potentially, I'm quite sure people would be happy to pay for that as well. So that's extra revenue for us. So, you know, if we're staging big competitions, well, there's no reason why we can't be, you know, inviting people in who are coming just to watch, you know, which isn't something that tends to happen now. But we had such good reaction from people who'd watched at the Olympics and they just had never seen anything like it. And it's so exciting.
Well, it's also, where do you watch that? Where, you know, yeah, apart from on the telly, where can you go and watch that?
Mm.
Well, Rush.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah, yeah. And it's so exciting. I mean, it's crazy exciting to watch.
I guess that part of it as well is that you've got to curtail that excitement. You've got to be realistic about it as well in terms of, you know, I want it next week kind of thing. And the reality is these things take time. All these stages take time. And that must be incredibly hard to kind of, I guess, focus on that patience.
Yeah, I mean, the project is sort of, at some points you're thinking, oh, nothing's happening, it's going nowhere. And then more recently it's been, oh, I've got ecology surveys coming, transport surveys, I've got some bills to pay. We've got the anniversary of the land option coming up, so we've got a payment to make for that. And it suddenly accelerates. And then, yeah, you know, you need to draw breath and say, you know, actually, when we get through the planning, we've now got to raise several million pounds. And, you know, that gets a little bit more daunting again.
Yeah.
Step at a time. You know, you said it is a stage process, so let's just look at it
as a
step at a time.
And we'll hopefully take you through those stages with this podcast as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the prospect of having to raise that kind of money, you know, what are the thoughts around that? What are the...
What have I always said about the money?
Well, it's the initial money. We've, like Debbie said, you know, the initial 20, 30, 40,000 pounds is harder to raise than the big money. Because once you've got planning permission, once you've got something tangible and something people can see and envisage, it makes the rest of it a little bit easier, as much as it's a very big number. We'd like to think it will make it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And I think what's wonderful is that what you've got visually on the website, that is an exciting prospect. Even just going online, if people haven't gone online, what's the website address for people?
rushskatepark.org.
It's up there. There is a kind of, you know, I guess a kind of rough idea. There's definitely a feel. You get the feel of what you want to create from that. It's so exciting just going on that website. If people want to get involved, if they want to raise money, if they want to kind of throw their hat in the ring for whatever that is, how can they do that?
So we've got a Facebook page. We're having regular meetings. We're at the Old Lodge in Minchinhampton today, and most of the meetings are happening there. So we've actually upped it to once a fortnight. So anyone can come and just have a bit of a catch up and hear about what's going on. That's absolutely fine. You can get to the crowdfunder from the website, and there's just a button on there saying fundraise for this charity, and you can just get going and start raising your own money for it. You don't even have to turn up. And that'll just, well, the nice thing about that is you don't have to handle any of the money. It'll just automatically come into the charity. Really, we're looking for skills. You know, if someone knows that they've got something, or they could put an event on, or, you know, we're open to ideas, you know. So they can get in touch through the website as well. There's an email address and they can get in touch and come forward and with anything they want to do.
Well, that's a nice thing as well. If people want to submit questions for us to answer on this, you know, you can go on the website and click away and get those questions in. And that's kind of quite nice as well, as keeping that conversation open and going with the community and with people. And it might be, you know, someone wanting to get involved, it might be a specific question about something to do with planning or whatever it is, sort of thing. So feel free to get your questions in on the website as well. So what's the next stage?
Well, it's the big planning, isn't it? You know, we're talking to the architects and they've put a proposal forward. So it's getting those drawings together so that we can put the formal application in. As I say, we're doing some of the pre-work already, you know, surveys and all that sort of stuff. But the big one is, getting that application in.
And into Stroud Council?
Yeah, Stroud District Council. Bless them.
And we are about to start talking to the ramp builders as well, because we need to talk to them at an early stage. One of the guys said to me the other day, said, yeah, but you will have this and you will have that. And I'm going, I'm not involved in designing the park. That's down to you guys. So that's going to be quite fun, sorting out what people want. I think Stan could probably design it all by himself.
Yeah. But, got little drawings.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been in my room for the last 3 years.
Getting my mate. I'm just going to share those now.
Yeah.
Are the council on side?
No.
Yes.
Sort of. They have been difficult to work with in some respects, but there's also, if you look around the councillors, there is a lot of local support. I mean, genuine, heartfelt support. So if you look at our local councillors here in, you know, Brimscombe and Minch and around this area, 100% support. Some of the process stuff with the council, some of their communications in the past about, you know, the old rush was challenging, shall we say.
Is there a way the community can get involved in that? You know, the councillors and the council work for their parish, for their constituents.
That's a really good point. When we put the planning application in, a very important element is going to be support from the local community. And one of the reasons we're making noise now is because we I've promised them that I'm not going to give them 100 letters or more, because I'll, because as the planning officer said to me, should don't do that to me because I'll have to read them all. But we will be putting a document together of messages of support, which will support the application, and also local, you know, youth organisations. So we do want to hear from local youth organisations as well, who feel in support of the park, because the more we can demonstrate that there is a real community interest, the more powerful the application is from that point of view as well.
And can people send those in now to you, like via email and stuff?
There's no reason if someone wants to get their, you know, say what they want to say, go for it, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the sooner the better. You know, if you're feeling it, say it.
All right, great. Well, if you are listening, then you've got work to do. You've got the support documents to send in. You've got to get fundraising, get involved, get on the website or the Facebook page. All the details are up there. Amazing. All right, well, listen, part two of our Rush podcast, it'll probably be here at the lodge again, but we might try, it'd be nice to go down at the site. Who's up for taking me on a guided tour around the site?
Yeah.
We can
we can
visualize it. Yeah.
Go and walk around the field. Yeah.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Join us on the site of the new Rush then for part two of the podcast.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, guys, for your time. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks, Edith.
Thanks.
There we go. Episode one. Done and dusted. Thanks to the Old Lodge for the space to record our episode, and to David, Matt, Stan and Debbie for their time. Head to rushskatepark.org if you have a question you want to submit, find out more and maybe even get fundraising. And the plan with this podcast is to try and bring you an episode every month just to update you on where we are. So this has been an Ebo production with support from Ben Backhouse. Join us next time for episode two of the Friends of Rush podcast.